right. Good morning, LifePoint Church. How is everybody doing? Today, of course, is one of the greatest days because it is Mother's Day. Like, really? Thank you. That's right. That's right. You can get loud in church. It's okay. We can get loud in church. There's a few things we can get loud in church for. And one of those is our mothers. So, happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. Special shout out to all the women in our church. You all are incredible. Whether you're a mother or not, you are a part of the body of Christ, and you are a part of raising up the children here in this church. And you are a part of keeping all of us guys in line. So, yes. So, happy Mother's Day. We love you all so much and appreciate you. Man, you make the world go round. So thank you, mothers. We love you. So today, as we move on, we are going to wrap up our current message series that we're in called Perspective. And basically what we're doing in this series is we've been working through the book of Philippians. And we've been kind of pulling out some of these just key truths that help us to rethink our perspective. Our perspective in life and how we do life and how we navigate through some of the tough waters that we face. And today we're going to focus in on something that I believe to be an incredible struggle for, I would venture to say, every single person in here. Now, levels of what your struggle may actually be may differ. But we all have encountered this. We have all dealt with this at some point in time. And I'm confident in saying this because this is honestly one of my greatest personal struggles in my life. And I'm very open and honest about that. And today, we're going to be talking about worry. So let me just go ahead and ask, how many of you here this morning would say that at some point in time, you have worried more than you would like to? Yeah, every single one of us. Well, every single one of us that's listening and paying attention right now. But yeah, we've all dealt with it. We've all had our bout with worry. And I'm right there with you, trust me. Like, if you know me whatsoever, you know that this is a struggle for me. And so when I've thought about worry over the years and how I can gain freedom from that. And I've listened to a lot of different podcasts and sermons and things like that and looked through scripture. One of the things that always sticks out to me is this principle on worry that I heard from another pastor. And he basically said, whatever you fear the most reveals what you value the most, right? What you fear the most is kind of what you value the most. So in the sense, what you're worrying about day in and day out, or that you tend to kind of go back to with worry, is really what you value. So if you're worried about your kids, mothers, or fathers, but mothers, if you're worried about your kids, it means you love your kids. You value your kids. They matter to you deeply. If you're worried about your relationships or your marriage or whatever it may be, your relationship with your mother, maybe your relationship with your mother is strained and you're worried about that, you know, it shows that you value that relationship. It's important. But on the flip side of this, you know, we have what you fear is what you value most. But on the other side of that, what you fear is actually where you're trusting God the least. And I heard that, man, and it rocked my world. It's like, yeah, I can track with this. This is what I value. This is really important to me. And like, oh, but this is also where I'm not trusting God. I've also heard someone define worry as the sin of distrusting the promises and power of God. You don't trust God. You're worried about this. It shows, yes, you value this. Yes, you love this. But it is the area that you are not trusting God. And it's exposing that. And again, every single one of us have dealt with worry in some way, shape, or form throughout our lives. Every single one of us. Maybe for you, you're worried about your finances. You struggle with that. You struggle with worrying about your finances or about your job or your relationships, or maybe it's possessions. You're worried about keeping up with the Joneses all the time and what people think about you. You're worried about where you stand with God and how your relationship is. You're worried about your safety. You're worried about the safety of your kids. You're worried about the current state of our world today. It's in chaos and turmoil constantly. And you're worried about that. Maybe you're worried about your physical or your own mental health. The list goes on and on and on about the different things that we worry about. And again, I 110% get it because, man, I'm probably the worst in this room right now, I promise you. It has been a battle for me throughout my life. And I don't use the term battle lightly here. I mean, it is a fight. It is a tooth and nail fight to not embrace worry in my life. I've fought it. I mean, I can be very sick with worry. I mean, so much so that I've like been sitting on my couch before worrying about something, just kind of in my own head, just worrying about something. And then I lose track of it and I don't even remember what I was worried about. So then I start worrying about the fact that I don't remember what I was worried about because it was probably important, right? I mean, anybody ever done that before? Oh, yeah, yep, not alone, right? But that's how all-consuming worry can be. I'm telling you, man, it's toxic. Worry is toxic, it's destructive, and it is not what God has in store for your life. He didn't intend for us to be consumed with worry. It's not his plan. So today, I want us to check out Philippians chapter 4. And I want to use this and look at a few passages of scripture throughout that to help us discover this transformational thought on worry. And this thought is this. It's that worry is really all about one's perspective. I mean, it is. Worry is about your perspective. We all worry about different things. And it comes from our different perspectives, our different experiences in life. Worry is all about our perspective. For example, just actually yesterday, I was driving Sawyer out to his golf lessons, and we're planning on going to Florida this summer for Amelia has a dance competition, and you know, of course we're gonna go to the beach, you know. So we're talking about the beach and the ocean. He's like, hey, can you look up and see, like, is there shark attacks on the beach that we're going to? Like, Amelia looked at like the top 10 deadliest beaches. Is that one of them? And you know, so he's like, 'cause I gotta decide whether I'm gonna get in the ocean or not. Like, he's worried about it. He's worried about shark attacks, but it's because of his experiences. I mean, he's been to the beach a handful of times. But if you take someone his age, a kid that lives on the beach, they probably go jump in the ocean and it's no big deal. They don't even think about it. It's not a worry for them because they realize the odds of a shark attack are slim to none. But for Sawyer, because of his perspective, he's worried. He's trying to figure this thing out. Can I get in the ocean? What if I dip just my toe in there? Will it be okay? Or is it just going to come get me like Sharknado, just fall from the sky, you know? It's all about perspective. That's what our worry is. It's about perspective. And as we look throughout history and we look in Scripture, if there was anyone that had a reason to worry, honestly, man, it was the Apostle Paul. I mean, if you missed previous weeks, when Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, he was actually arrested and imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And he was there, he was writing, he was waiting to find out his sentencing, like whether or not, honestly, whether or not he was going to be executed. So while he's writing this letter, he could have gotten some of the worst news imaginable. Like, I don't know, if I'm in his position, man, I'm worried. Right, I'm a nervous wreck. Like, I don't know what's gonna be said, what's gonna happen next. I would have been terrified, full of worry, full of fear. But my man Paul, man, he had a different perspective. He had a different perspective than most people. And he understood that he didn't have to worry, that it was pointless, that it was fruitless in this situation. And he didn't need to. If you remember, Paul was the one who said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Not famine, not persecution, not hardship, not nakedness, not peril, not sword. Absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God. Man, this was his perspective. Therefore, he knew that he didn't have to worry. He had seen the faithfulness of God in a way that many people haven't. He's seen it. He experienced it. Therefore, he had a different perspective. And he knew he didn't have to worry. He saw God's faithfulness when he was shipwrecked and should have died. He saw God's faithfulness. He saw his faithfulness when he was being persecuted and beaten, when he was stoned and left for dead, when he was imprisoned again and again and again. He saw God's faithfulness. Therefore, he knew, man, I don't have to worry because of his experience. It was his perspective. And so from a Roman prison, man, he writes these words. Again, waiting to find out what his fate was going to be. He writes this, starting Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start off with verse 4. And it says, rejoice. I mean, right there it already is baffling to me. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. He's saying, rejoice in the Lord. Not in what's going on, but rejoice in the Lord. It was about his perspective. What he experienced changed it all. And he realized, man, I don't have to worry, but I can rejoice in the Lord. But man, unfortunately, far too many of us today, man, we're consumed with worry. Far too many Christ followers have embraced worry in our lives. We cling to it like it's our best friend, but in reality, it is destroying us. Slowly, it is destroying us, and it's robbing us of our joy, and it's keeping us from being and doing all that God has created us to be and to do because we're worried. We're hesitant. We're fearful because of worry. And I get it. This is my struggle. And so if you find yourself in this position, consumed with worry, day in and day out, there's two truths that Paul teaches us in this chapter, in chapter 4 of Philippians, that I want to share with you this morning. And it's my hope and it's my prayer that God will begin to speak to you through this, and he'll begin the process of eradicating worry from your life. Two truths that Paul teaches us about worry. And the first one is this, is that we don't have to worry about what will happen when we know who's in charge. Again, it's about perspective. We don't have to worry about what will happen when we know who is in charge. I think about it like this, you know. Again, I'm kind of a worry wart, and it just really goes rampant. But I mean, I think about just this week. I was with one of my friends, and he noticed. He's like, "Hey, man, you got a nail in your tire. I thought your tire looked a little low. You got a nail in your tire." And I'd already been talking to him about my AC in my car kind of being out, and he works on that. So, I start to worry. I'm like, man, now I'm going to have to take my car over to where I bought my tires, and, you know, they'll plug it for free, but they'll probably say there's not enough tread on it, and then so they're going to say they can't plug it, so then they're going to have to, like, you know, they're going to try to sell me new tires, then we're going to have to go through this whole process. So this, I mean, my mind just went like that, like just to all these different things. And he's like, well, come over to the house tomorrow. We'll look at your AC, and then we'll plug your tire. He's like, you should do it yourself anyways. And I'm like, well, yeah, probably. It's probably pretty simple, but then I'm like, I'm a nervous wreck. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to mess with that. So I went over to his house, and I was worry-free because he knew what he was doing. He had experience with it. He works on cars. He knows everything. So I just kind of helped, and I kind of probably got in the way, honestly, you know. But I didn't worry about it. Now, if I was in my garage and went and bought a tire plug kit and was like, okay, reading instructions, trying to figure this thing out, I would have been a nervous wreck. And then I would still probably be a nervous wreck not wanting to drive my car because I'm afraid like my tire's just going to blow up because I screwed something up. But I wasn't worried because I knew who was in charge of that situation. And for us as Christ followers, and how much more should we be entrusting of God in all things? Because we know who is in charge. And he's worthy. And we should trust him. Therefore, we shouldn't worry about anything. Because we know the one that's in charge. Paul, man, he articulates it like this in verses 6 and 7. And as a person that worries, this is like my go-to passage of scripture right here. Like, I mean, I just, when I get in that bad state, I have to grab a hold of this. And he writes this. He says, do not be anxious about anything. Anything means anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, present your requests to God. Don't worry about it. Talk to God about it. And then he follows it up with this beautiful promise, and it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I would much rather be consumed with the peace of God than to be consumed with the burden of worry. Maybe that's just me. If not, I'm gonna say you're crazy. But I would much rather be consumed and have the peace of God that passes and transcends all understanding than be consumed with worry. And for some of you, this is exactly what you need to hear. I know for me, many times, this is exactly what I need to hear. Man, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. You don't have to worry because you know who's in charge. So trust him. Trust him with that thing you worry about, whatever it is. Don't be anxious about anything because he's a good God and he's got this. You can trust him. So you give that over to him. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. So what we're going to do is we have to learn to trust God at times. And we're going to learn to give it to him. Because that's what he tells us to do. We're not supposed to carry our burdens. Man, he wants to take our burdens. And that includes your worry. So we have to learn to trust him. And we're going to release that worry to him. We're going to give it to him. And we're never going to pick it back up again. We're going to let it go. And we're going to keep moving on. Trusting that he is good, trusting that he is in charge and that he's in control of all things and that we can trust him. So if you're worried about your finances, we're not just going to sit around and worry about it, but we're going to give it to God. We're going to trust him. We're going to say, God, I trust that you are in control and that you got this and that you're going to make a way. You're going to provide some way, somehow. I trust you. If you're worried about, again, if you're worried about your kids and their safety or whatever it may be, we're going to say, God, I'm going to trust my kids to you. I mean, they're your kids anyways. And you've got this, so I'm going to trust you. Maybe it's your health. Man, that's going to be so, so heavy. But God, I trust you with my health, with my treatment, with my medical treatment. God, you are good, and I trust you with that. So I'm going to leave that there. I'm going to let it go, and I'm not picking it back up. I'm going to release it to you. Because you see, when you release it, and you say, yeah, I trust you, God, but then you go back over there and pick it back up, you know what I'm talking about? Basically, what you're saying is, hey, God, I don't trust you anymore with this. You're not capable of handling this. So I'm going to scoop it back up and I'm going to carry it, and I'm going to worry about it. We may not say that verbally, but that's what our actions are showing. Don't worry about anything, but trust God and pray about everything. Now, a little pet peeve on this. I'm grown up in the church, right? So I've been around a lot of church people, okay? Heard a lot of rhetoric, heard a lot of things, seen some crazy things, not good things. But a pet peeve of mine with this is, yes, we are going to trust God. We're going to release it to him, and we're not going to worry about it. But that does not mean that we don't do anything. Because, see, we still have some responsibility. God gave us a brain, right? So what we're going to do is if there's something that we can do about it, we're going to do it. But the things that we can't do anything about, we're going to trust God. Because ultimately, he's in charge and he's in control. If we're worried about our finances, we're not just going to say, God, I trust you with it, and then go chill on the couch day in and day out and wait for God to supernaturally just like start adding money to your bank account. That's not what we're talking about here. If you're worried about your finances, you're going to say, God, I trust you with my finances, and I know you're going to make a way. And then you're going to make sure that you have a job and that you're doing your absolute best that you can at your job, and you're going to live below your means. Hello. You're going to live below your means, and you're going to budget, and you're going to manage those resources that God has blessed you with, and you're going to bring the tithe, and you're going to do all the things that you know to do. And then you're going to trust him with the things that you have no control over. Think about it like this, and this is what I want you to commit to doing, is that you will do what you can and trust God with what you cannot do. I mean, it's really that simple. Do what you can do, but with those things that you cannot do, just trust God. And trust him with that. We're not going to sit around and worry, but we're going to do what we can do, and we're going to trust God with what we can't. We're going to give that to him because he's got it. He can do it, and he's in charge of all things. So let me just ask, can you heal your sick family member yourself? No. But who can? Who can? God can, right? He's the great physician. He's in control of all things, so he can heal whoever, whenever. So we're going to trust him with that, right? Can you protect your kids from everything? No. Unfortunately, no. I'm struggling to learn this lesson because I want to put them in a bubble and I want to protect them. But I can't. I can make wise decisions as a parent. I cannot let the world dictate how I parent. And I can put some safeguards in line, but I can't protect them from everything. As much as I want to, I cannot do that. So I have to trust God. I've got to trust him, and I give that over to him. I do what I can do, and I trust him with what I cannot do. Can you control your future? No. Again, you can do what you can do, but ultimately you can't control your future, but God can, and he does, and he's working in all things, so we trust him. Does worrying make any difference or change anything? No. It just makes us miserable and keeps us on the sideline and keeps us from being and doing what God has created us to do. So our worry changes nothing. No positive impact. But can God's goodness and his power change anything? Yeah. I mean, it can change everything. Because he's good. So we're not going to worry about anything, but we're going to pray and trust God about everything. We're going to trust him. And when we do that, scripture tells us that the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding will be with you, that it'll guard your heart in Christ Jesus. It'll guard your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Man, I want that more than anything. The peace of God. So we don't have to worry about what will happen when we know who is ultimately in charge. So we don't have to worry. Another thing that a lot of us worry about, especially today in 2018, is a lot of us are really worried about what we have and what we don't have. We're worried about our status, right? We're worried about what other people think about us. Some more than others, but that is a natural trend that we tend to fall into, is that we worry about what we have and what we don't have. I mean, think about it like this. You have your car. You know, if you have a car, one, if you have a car, you're blessed. But you have a car, and you're content with it. You're good. Until your neighbor pulls in, right, with the same car, just the newer model, that's a little more tricked out, luxurious than yours. So then you look at their driveway, you look at your driveway, theirs, yours, and like, man, what is this piece of junk? What's going on here? I want this one, right? But what's happened is we've taken the bait and we've joined into the comparison game, right? Also very destructive. But we become dissatisfied and discontent with what we have. And we begin to worry. Worry if we're keeping up. Worry if we're good enough. Worry, is this even going to, you know, make it another, you know, mile or something? It's only got like 60,000 miles. Like, get over yourself. But, you know, is it going to make it? I mean, I might have to get an oil change, whatever. But we start to worry and we start to think about all these things. And we let that creep in. Man, and it's ridiculously common. And again, destructive for us today. We've become discontent with how we look. Discontented with the way we feel. Discontented with our status and where we're at in life. And just, we wish we had a different house, or we wish we had a different job, or we wish our kids did this or didn't do this. And man, we wish we made this amount of money, or we had this. And we're constantly worrying about, do we have enough? And we become dissatisfied and worried. Which brings us to the second thing that Paul teaches us about worry. And it's this, is that we don't have to worry about what we have when we know who truly satisfies. It's a change of perspective. I mean, you don't have to worry about what you have or what you don't have when you know who truly satisfies. And we see this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13, when Paul shares with us one of the greatest secrets in all of history. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. He's talking about, if you were here in the first couple of weeks, that the financial gift that the Philippians blessed him with, that he was just so grateful for. And then this is where it gets good in verse 11. He said, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. And note that he says, I have learned to be content. This is not something that came natural to him. He had to learn. God had to teach him this principle. I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. He says, I've learned the secret. I've learned the secret to this, that no matter where I am, no matter what I'm going through, I've learned the secret of being content. I've learned the secret of not worrying because of my different perspective on things. I've learned the secret, and he says this. He says, I can do everything through him. Through him, through Christ who gives me strength. That's it. I don't have to worry because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because it's not about me. Because it's not about you. It's about God. It's about his goodness. It's about who he is and what he can do, and he is the one who truly satisfies. Not the things of this world. So we don't have to worry. See, it's about perspective. Paul didn't have to worry about what he had or didn't have. He said, I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to be in need. He said, but man, I've learned to be content whatever the situation, because I know what really matters. I know what truly satisfies. I know who's in charge. So I don't have to worry. Because he's faithful. Because he's good. Paul says, because of my experiences. And I've been through it. That dude was through the ringer, man. But he said, because of God's faithfulness, I've experienced his presence in the darkest of times. And in the best of times. And it's led me to have this beautiful perspective. And because of that perspective, I don't have to worry. Because I know who's in charge. And I know what truly matters. Plus, he said, man, I don't have to worry about my health or what I have or don't have or my relationships, because I've given all that over to God anyways. He's in control of those things. It's not about me. It's about him. So whether I'm living with plenty or in want, whatever my circumstance, whether I'm in prison or not in prison, I can rejoice in the Lord and not worry, because I know who truly satisfies, and because I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Perspective change. It's a perspective shift. If you are in Christ, if you are a Christ follower, man, you don't have to worry. And if you're worrying, you're choosing to. You're telling God, hey, you can't handle this, so I've got this. I'm going to take it on. Again, please don't hear me doing this number, because I'm like right here. My wife's over shaking her head like, yeah, I'm going to not hear. I'm going to not live this down for a while. But we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And we don't have to worry. If we are in him, he's got us. And this isn't just in Philippians. This is all throughout Scripture. We see this. We see this theme. Psalms 37, verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord. Not in yourself. Not in what you can accomplish or have accomplished, not in your promotion, not in what your kids accomplish. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 11, verse 1, in the Lord I take refuge. Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust man. Than to trust in man. Take refuge in the Lord, not in what I can do. I've got this obstacle in front of me. It's not about how good I can perform to navigate through it, but I'll just trust in God. I'm going to do what I can do and trust him with the things that I can't do and keep it moving. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Don't lean on your own understanding. Newsflash, it's not about you. It's not. It's about him. It's about trusting in him. It's about relying on him. And for those of you that may be wondering where you actually stand with God, maybe you're actually worried about that. Worried that, you know, man, have I screwed up too much? Have I gone too far from God? Could God ever forgive or love or have grace and mercy on someone like me? Man, if that's what you're worried about, if that's what you're thinking, you're wondering, man, Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Not because of anything that you've done. Not because of anything that you could ever do, but because of what he did for you. Because of God. Because he sent his son to take your place, to die and raise again, shed his perfect blood so that you could be made right before the Father. And he did that for you. You didn't do nothing. He did that for you. Because he's that good. Because ultimately, it's not about us. our strengths, our abilities, our possessions, our relationships, our accomplishments, how smooth we can operate. It's not about any of that, but it's 100% about our good and loving and merciful and gracious and powerful and ever-present God. That's what it's about. So if you are in Christ, you never have to spend a single second worrying again. You don't have to. That's not why he created us to be running around worried, but he created us to be in relationship with him and to trust him. You see, we don't have to worry about what will happen because we know who's in charge. And we don't have to worry about what we have or what we don't have because we know who truly satisfies. And so if this is one of your struggles today, man, I really pray that you'll begin to seek God and let him begin to transform your way of thinking. Let him begin to give you that new, fresh perspective so that you can understand that you don't have to worry. It's fruitless. It's pointless. That you can give it to God and leave it there and never take it back. That he can and will take care of that. We could trust him with that. Because we can do all things through him who gives us strength. You can accomplish this. You can rise above worry through him. Not through your own power, but through him. So take that new and fresh perspective and trust God. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And the peace of God will guard your heart. And he'll guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. We thank you for how good and loving and graceful you are. How merciful you are. The fact that we can trust you. The fact that you tell us to lay our burdens down at your feet. And that we don't ever have to take them back. God, we're thankful that in you we can have the peace that goes beyond all understanding. And that we don't have to depend on ourselves, because that's a terrifying thought. God, so we thank you. We thank you, God. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you're really just kind of exploring and seeking and trying to figure this thing out. Whether you've been coming to LifePoint Church for a little while or popping in and out of churches here or elsewhere, just trying to understand. See where everything fits. Man, I'm here to tell you today just to trust God. He's good. He loves you. He loves you right where you're at in this very moment. With the good things and the bad. With the areas where you're strong and you have good and your strength shows and your skills show, and the areas that you're flawed and where you fail. He loves you in the midst of all of that. He just wants to be in relationship with you. He loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. To make a way so that you would be made right with him. And scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you will be saved. It's confessing and believing. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just trust him. Confess and believe. And when you do that, when you give your life to Christ, you just begin this journey, this beautiful journey of ups and downs. And you focus on him, and you trust him. And you just take one step in front of the other. You don't have to worry about anything else. Just take that one step, and the next, and the next. Scripture tells us that when we come into a relationship with Him, we are a new creation, that old things have passed away and all things are new. That's that peace, the peace of God. So if that's you this morning, just during this time of prayer and worship, I mean, if God is leading you, if you feel that tug, man, don't push it out. Just receive Him today. If you want to talk to me or one of the other leaders that'll be up here in a minute, man, they will be more than happy to talk to you, to pray with you, whatever it is that you need. If you just want to ask questions or if you're just checking it out, that's great. And if today's not that day, I pray and I hope that it is. But if it's not, keep coming back. Keep searching. Keep asking questions. And keep coming to Life Point Church because you're welcome. You're welcome here and we love you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a Christ follower and you've been a Christ follower for some time. But man, you're consumed with worry, with fear and worry, just about anything and everything. It's time to have that perspective shift. It's time to begin to trust God once again. To lay those things down, give them over to Him, release them to Him, and don't ever pick them back up again. And you too begin to move forward, trusting Him every step of the way because you know who's in charge and you know who truly satisfies. So we trust Him and we release those things. And when you start to fall back into that trap of worry, you start to want to pick things up, remember, when you're doing that, you're saying, God, I don't believe that you have this. Put it back down and keep it moving. You do business with God this morning. You just speak to Him, listen to His voice, and you just move forward in the way that He's leading you. Whether it be to accept Him as Savior for the first time or recommit your life or to commit to just pushing worry to the side and laying these things down at His feet. Whatever it may be, or else maybe it's something completely different. Whatever it is that He's speaking to you, you do business with Him this morning. And like I said, if you would like someone to pray with you, we'll have some of our leaders up front. So as Mike plays, you do business with God at this time.